Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. I just want to agree with what Pastor Byron said this morning. I feel like there's such an atmosphere of faith in the room today. It kind of feels like something is breaking out, man, and it's excited, and it's something that you need to be excited about as well. Did you know that you are not here by accident? Maybe you thought you just came to church on a Sunday because that's what you do on a Sunday, you know? It's a Sunday thing. But you are here on purpose. And we sang about God's goodness chasing us down. God's goodness is chasing you down to this place right now in this moment. His goodness is chasing you down. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. It's a good day. Springboks gave the Welsh a lekker spanking. You know, I'm kind of feeling sorry for the rest of the world. It kind of feels like they're playing with a handicap. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't want to boast and stuff, but it just kind of seems like it. It's my great privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you today, and I don't take it lightly. Thank you so much, Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace, for just giving me the opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I thank you for just believing in people and wanting to see people go forward. Thank you so much for that. And so, as Pastor Byron said, we are closing out the sermon series called Another Kind of Life. Over the last couple of weeks, we've heard some incredibly helpful teachings about this amazing life that God invites us into. You know, this amazing life that we get to live and how we can practically live that life in all its glory and all its splendor. So today we're closing out and the message is entitled, We Have Hope. But before we get into it, I want you to just remain seated for a moment and I'm just going to lead us in a time of prayer just to prepare our hearts to receive from God right now. So close your eyes, let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now with hearts that are open and expectant. You are the God that speaks. You are the God that leads. You are the God that transforms. And Lord, today we are here to receive from you. Speak now, Lord. We are listening. Bless our time together, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So today we're talking all about hope. Now, if you think about it, we all have hope. We're all hoping for something in our lives. Maybe you feel like you don't have hope right now, but deep down, if you had to look real deep down in your heart, there is probably something that you are hoping for. Maybe you are hoping for hope, but hope is all around. Think about it. What are you hoping for right now in your life? I'm hoping that a real estate transaction that I've been busy with for the last 17 months will finally come to fruition and it will finally be concluded. God, you hear me? Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. My wife is hoping for a new lounge suite. So we've got this incredible lounge suite, man. It is such a champion. It's just survived. You know, when you just get something that survives, you know? I'm sure it came from Brackburn. I'm pretty sure it did. But it survived like pretty much our whole marriage, 15 years. It survived the mayhem of three kids. It's just been holding in there, but it's tired. I can see it's putting up the hand and saying, take me out, brother. And so my wife is trusting for a lounge suite, and I hear about it every day when she wakes up. It's like the first thing she says, I want a new lounge suite. My kids are hoping for ice creams every day when we fetch them from school. They don't get an ice cream every single day. That would be terrible. But it doesn't stop them from hoping. The point is we all hope for something in our lives. We use the word hope in our daily language. You know, maybe we use the words, I hope so, in response to something like the weather or, you know, an outcome, a desired outcome. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I get that promotion. And there's nothing wrong with hoping. There's nothing wrong with hoping for something. But hoping in this context conveys doubt, that there's a chance that it may not happen. I hope it doesn't rain, but it may. I hope I get the promotion, but it may. The hope that we find in God is something entirely different. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for hope, batach, conveys trust, confidence, and security. It's the complete opposite of doubt. So this hope that we have in this another kind of life, the life that we live as followers of Jesus, it's not wishful thinking. It's complete assurance and confidence. Now, we might not always feel like we're living with that hope. You know, maybe we feel with, you know, we're putting our hope in other things. Maybe we've put our hope in things and they've let us down. And it's because the world offers a different version of what God offers. It's often like that. God offers us something, the world offers us a different version of that thing. A cheap knockoff, if you will. You know, it's the one that you buy at China Mall. Have you ever bought anything at China Mall, like a knockoff thing? I remember in school, I don't know if you guys remember Buffaloes. Do you remember those shoes, Buffaloes? Like at one stage, it was the thing, man. I look at it now and I think, what were we thinking? But I remember I went to a flea market once and I bought a knockoff pair of Buffaloes. They were called Baduffaloes. And I thought I was the main man walking around with it. And like after 1 week, like the sole broke off and like that was the end of it, you know? But the world offers us a cheap knockoff of what God offers. The world offers us a very different kind of hope. And to help me illustrate this better this morning, I've got two objects in front of me, a balloon and a rock. These two objects couldn't be more different from each other. The balloon represents the hope that the world offers us. It's shiny, it's attractive, it looks good, it's exciting, and it's full of promise, just like the things that the world says will make us happy. But if I had to apply pressure to this balloon and really push on it, or if I bring the sharp edges of life's challenges and hardships, it very quickly disappears. That's what happens when we place our hope in the temporary things of the world. The things promising us happiness and security, fulfillment in things like success, wealth, or approval. These things are temporary. And as you can see, it's very fragile. When life gets tough, it fades away. The rock, on the other hand, it's solid, it's firm, it's unbreakable. I can throw it to the ground, it won't change. I can apply as much pressure as I want to it. I can poke it with the sharp edges, no problem. In fact, okay, I'm going to try this. In fact, I can stand on it, there we go. Tried to stand on it, but it doesn't change in any way, shape, or form, right? It stays the same. And this is the hope that Jesus offers us, a foundation that is firm and unchanging, a hope that lasts forever, that endures through everything. A hope that is not grounded on what we can achieve or possess. A hope that is grounded in God's promises. A hope that is not determined by our circumstances. It's a hope that is determined by God's faithfulness. And it's a hope that stands firm even when life gets uncertain. Now, let's be honest, church. At face value, it's very easy to be drawn to the balloon, right? Because why? It's exciting. It's fun. It's a party balloon. I mean, come on. Who doesn't like balloons, right? It's easy to be drawn to the balloon first. The rock, on the other hand, it's just kind of like a rock. You know what I mean? It's boring and bland. In fact, I don't think it draws much attention to itself at all. But I want to remind us this morning that we can so easily be fooled by appearances. Though the balloon looks amazing, looks exciting, looks fun, looks like it's filled with a lot, it offers us short-term gratification. It offers us a short-term hope that's just full of air. But the rock, though it looks bland and boring, it offers us long-term stability and it offers us a hope that will last forever. And so I guess the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what hope are we building our lives on? What hope are we building our lives on? There's this account in Scripture between an Old Testament prophet, Elijah, and a wicked king of Israel, King Ahab. And now Ahab became the king of Judah and did evil in the eyes of God. In fact, the Bible says that King Ahab did more to provoke God to anger than any other king before him. So this was a bad guy. This was a wicked king. And because of his rebellion, God sent Elijah to go and warn King Ahab. Elijah told Ahab that God was going to send a drought because of his rebellion and that there would not be rain or any dew. And that's exactly what happens. God sends this drought, there's no rain, and after 3 years, Elijah begins to pray again for the rain to return. And what happens next is just this beautiful example of what it looks like when we place our hope in God. And so we're going to take a closer look at this passage of Scripture in 1 Kings 18, and we're going to jump in from verse 42. Let's read it together. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time, the servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, 'Climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you.'" And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. These were two very different guys, two very different men representing two very different types of hope. Yeah. One grounded in the world, and the other grounded in God. Yeah. And so from this passage today, from Elijah's example, we're going to look at 3 key points that we can see what is required of us to have the same kind of hope that Elijah did. So are you ready for a church?
Yes.
Are you awake, 8:30?
Yes.
Great. Point number one. Hoping in God requires faith beyond sight. Guys, we've all been there. We all know the situation all too well. We're hoping and praying for something to happen in our lives, and nothing is happening. We can't see it. There's no evidence that God is answering our prayers or doing what he said he would do. Six times Elijah's servant went and looked, and 6 times he returned with the same report. There's nothing there. I think we can feel the weight of those words. Nothing. But Elijah doesn't waver, does he?
Yeah.
He keeps going. He keeps believing. Because Elijah knew that God had promised rain, and that promise was greater than anything his servant could see or couldn't see.
Yeah.
His hope was grounded in God's word, in what God had said. And this is what it means to have hope, guys. This is what it means to have hope in God, to believe in his faithfulness despite our circumstances seeming to contradict what he's saying.
Yes.
Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that this life we're living, this another kind of life that we live as followers of Jesus, it requires faith. It says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." This is how we live, guys. This is the life that we are called to live as followers of Jesus, lives of faith. And so hoping in God requires that we look beyond the nothing, trust the unseen hand of God, and believe with everything inside of us that God is working, always working, even when we cannot see it. And so, yes, we all face moments where, you know, we pray and seek and look for answers. But we're met with silence and delay. It sucks. It sucks a lot. Perhaps you've been praying for healing for a long time, for a health issue. Maybe you've been praying for a breakthrough in your career, restoration in a relationship. Or maybe you're praying for a way out of a financial struggle that you're currently going through. But just like Elijah's servant, when you go and look, all you see is an empty sky. I want to encourage us this morning that just because we don't see it, it doesn't mean that God isn't doing it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Our faith goes beyond what we can see. So how is it that we can keep our faith going when we don't see anything? You know, you might say to me, "Oh, Don, it's easy to say, but it's just not lacking when I'm trusting for something and I'm never seeing the evidence." How do we carry on hoping when we don't see? What fuels our hope beyond what we can see? One very practical way to top up our hope is by remembering. Remembering. And I want to speak about 2 parts regarding remembering. Remembering first the words and the promises that God has spoken. For example, if we had to take a scripture like Jeremiah 29:11, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. These are the kinds of scriptures and promises that we need to meditate on daily. These are the scriptures that we need to memorize. We need to write them on the walls of our hearts so that they are never far from us. They are right there within reach. Our hope is ignited when we stand on and believe the word of God and his promises. Our hope is set ablaze when we believe what God has said. And secondly, the second part of remembering is remembering what God has already done. I love this quote by Corrie ten Boom. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We know God. We've been walking a road with God. We've been journeying with him. We've got a track record with him. We have history with God. And I know that within this place, we could spend hours just testifying and sharing stories about what God has done for us and in us. God has done it. We have seen his faithfulness. Elijah knew God. Elijah had seen God's faithfulness and his power many times before this account. In fact, just before this passage, he had called out to God and asked God to send fire to burn up an altar, and fire literally came down from heaven and burnt up the altar. Elijah had seen God's power many times. Yeah. Here's the thing, church. If we recall God's past faithfulness, we will never doubt God's future faithfulness. He is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if he did it then, he will most definitely do it now. Point number two, hoping in God requires perseverance. Hoping in God requires perseverance. When it comes to hoping in God, perseverance is not optional, it's essential. And Elijah modeled this beautiful truth for us in this passage. But you know, in a world that thrives on instant results, think about the world around us. Everything is instant. You know, popcorn, microwave popcorn, and everything is just instant, at your fingertips. It's kind of hard sometimes to hold on to the virtue of perseverance because we have access to so much that is instant. You know what the hardest part for me about persevering is? That it often means waiting. Think about it. No one likes to wait. No one. I don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. And if you're in denial about it this morning, then just pay closer attention the next time you're in Checkers and you're standing in the queue and the woman next to you, there's a baby and the baby's crying and people are dropping stuff and the bottle that breaks and there's something happening with the teller and it's not working and they call the supervisor and the supervisor, he takes 10 minutes to come. Trust me, you will very quickly realize that you do not like to wait. Or when you're in the drive-thru and you're waiting, you're hungry. That's why you went to the drive-thru. And you're waiting and the car in front of you is taking forever to place their order. It's like they're placing, they're like, no, take the onions off. Take this, take the pickles off. They're taking forever to do their food order. You will very quickly realize that you do not like to wait. And it's even tougher when we have to wait on God. Pastor Byron always says this, God is never late, but he sure misses a lot of opportunities to be early. It's funny, but it's true. Like, the struggle is real. Like, it's funny, but then afterwards you cry. God is the creator of the universe. He holds the world in his hands. Everything belongs to him. And so it's crazy to have that thought of like, but why must I wait, God? Because if there was anyone that could do this like instantly, it's you. So why do I have to wait? I want to offer us this perspective this morning. There's blessing in the waiting. There is blessing in the waiting. So yes, on the other side of waiting, there is breakthroughs, there is answers, there is blessing, and that's all great. But I think sometimes we can become so focused on the end result that we take our eyes off what God is trying to do right now in the process. It's in the waiting that God refines our trust. It's in the waiting that he builds our character. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." There are certain things that God cultivates us only when we wait upon him, only when we hope on in him, and perseverance is one of those things. So how did Elijah persevere? Well, one way that he did it is through trusting in God's perfect timing. And man, it's another thing that just sounds so good, but it's quite a difficult thing, speaking from my own life, to trust God's perfect timing. If you're anything like me, I like to plan, right? So I like Excel spreadsheets, okay? I'm proud to say it, and I don't care what you say. Okay, I like an Excel spreadsheet. I want to open it up in the morning, and I want to look at my plan, and I'm going to be like, so nice, you know? So nice. That's me. I like to plan. I like to have a plan. If I don't have a plan, I feel like, oh, geez, everything is just not working out. You know, everything is just crazy. But it's hard for me to submit that plan to God. You know, my schedule, my timeline, the things, you know, when I think it should happen. Sometimes we've got to surrender that to God and say, Lord, even if you don't do it when I ask you to, even if it doesn't happen the way I've planned it, I trust you. Elijah also didn't stop. That was another way he persevered. He didn't stop praying. Think about it. I mean, when we pray, I'm speaking again from my life. Sometimes I've prayed for something and I've just prayed once. I pray for something. I'm like, Lord, I ask you for this. Okay, I know you hear me. Cool. All right. And then I pray for it and then it doesn't happen. And then instead of keeping on, instead of persevering, I just move on if it doesn't happen. That's not the behavior that Elijah modeled to us. And I think sometimes we can be stuck in this mentality that, you know, why must we keep asking God? Because he's God. It's not like he remembers. He remembers the first time I asked, right? Why must I keep asking him? But the thing is, God isn't intimidated by us asking. In fact, his word says that we don't receive because we don't ask. He's not intimidating. But it's not intimidating to him when we keep asking. It shows a sign of faith that we are keeping on. We are keep on believing despite what's going on around us. Imagine Elijah stopped praying after the sixth time. He would have missed the miracle on the seventh. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16 to 18 says, "Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus to live." Church, I want to encourage you, if you are waiting on an answer, don't give up. Yeah. Commit to daily prayer for your situation. Trust God's timing. And when discouragement creeps in, remember, remind yourself that delay doesn't mean denial. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God is constantly working on it. Yeah. Keep trusting God's perfect timing. Keep praying. Your breakthrough will come. Yeah. Point number three. Hoping in God sees small beginnings as signs of big miracles. You know, that tiny cloud that the servants saw, that probably wasn't much to them. You know, they saw this little cloud and they were like, okay, well, so what? But to Elijah, it was all the proof he needed that God was working. And how often do we overlook the seemingly insignificant things? Because, you know, it doesn't match, it doesn't feel and look like what we were asking for in the first place. Sometimes God's answers are small little clouds when we are expecting a flood. Sometimes God gives us a small sign, a small victory. And then we kind of tempted to dismiss it because it doesn't match the size of our prayers. But this account is a powerful reminder to us that God's miracles often start in the smallest of ways. Small beginnings often lead to God-sized miracles. So today I want to encourage us to see the small signs in our lives, not as disappointments, but to see it as the proof that God is working. And you know, we can do that by celebrating the small victories, by celebrating the progress and not just the completion. Zechariah 4 verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I love this. Even God enjoys and rejoices in the process. God celebrates every step forward, no matter how small they seem. And we should too. Often we wait for the end result before we throw the big celebration. But then we miss out on the joy and the satisfaction of the process. You know, it makes me think of social media influencers. You know, these guys that are putting out content all the time, and then they get to like 100 followers, and then they do like a post, and they celebrate, and they make a big deal about it. Or they get 1,000, you know, subscribers on their YouTube channel, and then they do a video, and they say, thank you so much to everybody that's following. They make a big deal out of a seemingly small thing. We need to intentionally look for the small signs, the small clouds that God is doing and showing us in our lives. We need to see the small ways that God is working, and we need to make a big deal out of them and give Him praise for them. You know, maybe you're studying towards your degree right now. You know, celebrate a good result on an exam or an assignment. Yes, it's not the qualification yet. It's not the certificate in your hand yet, but it's a step in the right direction. Celebrate it. Maybe you're on a health journey and, you know, your goal is to lose weight. Celebrate every kilogram that comes off. When you stand on that scale and it's 0.0.0.0.1 less. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe you're saving up, you know, to go on holiday or to buy something. Celebrate small milestones instead of celebrating the end result. Maybe there's a situation in your life that, you know, there's been a positive change, or there's been a positive change in a relationship in your life. Celebrate it, man. Maybe the person in church that you've been checking out for the longest while finally kind of looked over you and glanced. Maybe they just looked past you, but they kind of looked at you. And you're confident that they know you exist now. Celebrate it, man. Celebrate the heck out of it. After church, there at the cafe, out on the deck. Just celebrate it. The point is, we need to be intentional about it. And, you know, we can get creative on how we celebrate these moments. You know, we can, phone a friend and discuss the good news over a coffee. Have a meal with your family and just share the good news of God and praise God together. You know, it can be something as small as rewarding yourself with a milkshake. Maybe not if you're on the health journey, but, you know, you'll find something else to reward yourself with. The point is, we need to be intentional about celebrating the small things. And, you know, when we do this, what we're doing is we're throwing a whole bunch of petrol on our hope fires. That's what we're doing. We're building gratitude. We're building faith and trust in God, because we acknowledge that in our lives, every step of the way, He is working. We are building confidence that God is with us and He will never leave us, and He will finish the work that He started. We could confidently declare Philippians 1 verse 6 over us, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Church, the same God who starts with a small cloud is the same God who brings the rain. I want to encourage you today, if you are waiting and it seems like nothing is happening, trust Him. Celebrate the small beginnings. Remember what He's done for you and prepare for the big miracle that He's sending your way. He is sending the rain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So to recap this morning, hoping in God tells us to, number one, have faith beyond our sight, by standing on His word and His promises and remembering His past faithfulness. Number two, it calls us to persevere through delays by trusting in God's perfect timing and by continuing to pray no matter what. And number three, to see small beginnings as signs of big miracles by celebrating the small victories in our lives and giving God all the praise for them. When life feels uncertain and you're tempted to give in, remember God's promises. Practice looking beyond the nothing. Practice looking beyond your immediate circumstances. Trust God. Trust in His faithfulness. He will never, ever let you down. I'm aware that this morning there may be some people here who have never experienced this kind of hope. They've never experienced the hope that Jesus offers us. the firm, stable, unbreakable, never changing, everlasting hope. And if that's you this morning, then I want to create an opportunity for you to receive that hope. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, man, that hope sounds good. I want that hope. I need that hope in my life. Then I'm going to create a moment now for you to receive that hope. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if I'm speaking to you today, if you're saying, man, I want Jesus in my life. I want the hope of Jesus in my life. Then in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Nobody's going to be looking around. Nobody's going to be looking at you. I'm going to look at you because I want to see who I'm praying for today. I just want to see you and acknowledge you. This is the best decision that you will ever make in your life and the best decision that will change your life forever. And so if that is you this morning, I want to ask you right now just to raise your hand nice and high. I just want to see who you are and acknowledge you. Thank you. I see your hands at the back there. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand over here in the middle. Thank you so much. I see your hands out in the front here. Thank you so much. Guys, this decision will change your life. This hope will change everything. It's not like the empty hope that the world offers. Maybe this morning maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've been putting my hope in other things and it's been disappointing me. I'm here to tell you, Jesus will never, ever disappoint you. His hope is everlasting. And so I'm just going to wait one more moment if there's anyone else that wants to put up their hands right now. Don't delay, don't hesitate. You cannot afford to make this decision. It's the best decision of your life. Is there anybody else? Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for us now. I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to give you some language to process this moment. And as I pray, just listen to the words that I say. Make this prayer your own and just believe and agree with me in your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the plans that you have for my life. Like in Jeremiah 29:11, plans to prosper me, plans for a hope and a future, plans that will not harm me. God, I thank you that those are the plans that you have for me. And today, I want those plans. Today, I want that hope, Jesus. I want the hope that you are offering. And so right now in faith, I respond to your invitation. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying the ultimate price so that I can have a life of freedom and I can have a life with you. I believe that you rose again, that you conquered sin and grave, and that you are alive and that you are right here with me now. Holy Spirit, won't you come? I invite you into my life. I ask that you would change me, lead me, guide me, transform me, so that I can be more like Jesus and do the things that Jesus does. I receive your hope now by faith. I receive your love and I make the decision to love you back. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.